Hey, this is James Jeffries here, Impact Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, and you're listening to Uncharted Territory. The best wrestling stories and wrestling news are on this podcast. Check us out, brother.
Welcome back, promoters. This is episode 170 of the Uncharted Territory podcast. I'm Corey Olson. I will be your main host tonight. We have two of our other regular panelists here. Stu Lowry is not with us this evening. I don't remember if he's on assignment or
he
what
died?
He's up to. No, he didn't die.
Oh, he's not with us.
No, not with us physically, but spiritually and everything else, yes.
Holy shit, if Stu and Ole Anderson died on the same day, it would be a day that would live in infamy.
Yes, like that the day the music died.
That would be terrible.
Infamy means sucks, right?
Sure.
Okay.
In a sense.
I didn't want to give him a compliment.
As opposed to infirmary, it would be an infirmary.
Correct.
A day that will live in an infirmary.
Yes.
Or an incubator. Like little baby chicks that you get for Easter.
Correct.
Cheap.
Yes. So, well, you've heard our other two panelists, but let's properly introduce them. Tim Dalton in Buffalo, New York. What's going on over there tonight?
You know, it's kind of nice here in Buffalo. It was warm out today, cloudy, but I mean, we hit 54 degrees today. Mm-hmm. And by God, we're supposed to be in the 60s the next 2 days.
Nice.
And I love the 60s because, you know, you had the Beatles and all that stuff. So it should be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hoping Paul McCartney steps by the house. But
as he often does,
you never know when he's going to stop by.
Right.
You know, that's why I always have tea, you know, just to make sure.
Yes.
It the weather's been fine here. I mean, there were a couple chilly days, but it's kind of warmed up here. I'm sure we'll get cold again, but right now it's nice to maybe crack a window or two to get some fresh air in the house to blow the stink out of this place. And it's only me here, so that would be my stink. It just gets so dry in here, you know, with the heaters running all the time and all that. So,
how dry is it?
It's so dry. But so it'll be nice to get some fresh air in here over the next couple of days and crack a window and not feel like I need to have 12 layers of clothing on. So things in Buffalo are actually pretty good.
Good. That's great to hear, Tim. As Tim did his weather report, I was reminded I didn't do my weather report here in the Twin Cities Maplewood area. It was gorgeous as well. 60s, sunny. We had wrestling practice outside. We moved part of our Easy Roll mats out to the parking lot.
Oh, I'm glad you used mats. I was a little concerned.
No. We didn't wrestle on the concrete. But we just did some drilling out there, and it was a lot of fun. The kids appreciated seeing some sunlight. I'll talk at the end in my shout outs about where we are in our wrestling season. But it was a lot of fun to be able to do that today. Well, again, you heard his voice already, but let's head south of me to my brother, Chad Olson, down in Gilbert, Iowa. Chad, how are
Corey,
things?
Corey, it is literally the calm before the storm. Today we had 70s degrees. I believe the high was 73. Tim, what's your thought on the 70s music? You had Paul McCartney in the Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Fan,
you know,
no fan.
I'm still more of a fan of that whole 60s. I mean, anything
from
60, 62 to like mid 67. I mean, that's my wheelhouse, man. That's the good stuff.
Not 69?
And then it was all kind of weird until the Ramones came along.
Oh, okay. Anyways, So it's 70 degrees today. It's 63 right now. Tomorrow night at the same time, it will be 3 degrees. We'll be expecting snow, and it's going to be negative 15 with the wind chill at midnight tomorrow night. I swear to God.
Oh,
I
wow.
know. What kind of freaking devil wizardry is this Hogwarts shit going on?
That is crazy. That is insane.
Oh well.
Yeah.
At least I still have my charm.
Yes, you do. Very much. We kind of mentioned this in the intro here, but we just found out just before we recorded, we were recording on a Monday night this week, and we did find out that the legendary wrestler Ole Anderson passed away. I thought we could just take a couple of minutes and share some memories of Ole. Ole was actually at the very first Trego Says Hall of Fame, held in conjunction with Cauliflower Alley in 1999. Back then it was Newton, Iowa. I got my picture taken with Ole. I remember, seeing him. I knew who he was. It was pretty cool to see him. And I said to Chad and Tim, we should go talk to him. And they were nervous to talk to Ole.
I was
So
fucking
they,
scared. Yeah,
Ole scared me.
yeah, having heard some
I
stories,
thought
so
he might snatch me in a headlock or something if I went
yeah,
over and asked for a picture or an autograph.
exactly.
but they kind of shoved me, literally shoved me over to Ole, and he was very intimidating at first, but he cracked a smile and shook my hand and got a picture. Very, very friendly gentleman. Just one of my greatest memories of that first Hall of Fame induction ceremony and banquet. But yeah, of course, I remember Ole. Of course, by the time I was actively watching, he was kind of wrapping up his career. He would kind of play the manager role for the later version of the Horsemen. But I always enjoyed his interviews. He had a very serious style, and just enjoyed him very much. Tim, what are your memories of Ole?
You know, the first time I think I saw NWA wrestling, because we just got WWF back in the 80s, and I remember I was watching a TV, and this is back when you had to change a channel by hand and all of that fun stuff, and put, tin foil on the rabbit ears and all of that. But I was flipping and I got to channel 2, and it must have been a clear day because I got channel 2 out of Buffalo. Kind of, it was snowy. It wasn't winter, it was spring, but the picture was snowy. But it was Mid-Atlantic Wrestling. And that was my first exposure to Mid-Atlantic. And it was right after Ole and Gene Anderson had turned on Ric Flair. And Flair was out doing an interview where he's got like an aluminum baseball bat and he's banging it against the ring post. He said, "This is for you, Ole Anderson." Bam! "This is for you, Gene Anderson." Bam! And he's pissed. And I was like, "Holy crap, this is better than anything I've ever watched." And so that was my first exposure. And then seeing Ole come out later on and cut a promo, and it was just wild. But that was like Ole Anderson was part of my first exposure to Mid-Atlantic wrestling, and just really cool. Unfortunately, I never saw him live. When I went to shows up in Toronto with my folks, it was after he had kind of cycled out, and so unfortunately I didn't get to see him. But yeah, I mean, just a real presence. You could tell that he had something going on, and like you said, was very serious. But I mean, you felt like he meant everything he was saying, and just a great promo guy. He was good in the ring too, and I liked him when he would get in there when Arn came in, and they would just start working like that arm and just get submissions on the arm, just from cranking a body part and stuff. And I just thought that was really cool. So yeah, I got really very good memories. I liked his book. I know some people kind of pan the book, but I think Chad kind of told me about, that this one section where he talks about how he had like all these different things up on the wall and like finishes in all the different cities and stuff, so he wouldn't duplicate like matches and finishes, which I just thought was super cool as far as like, from the booking standpoint and from the office, kind of perspective. I thought that was really neat. But yeah, just a sad day. I mean, obviously a big talent in business. I'm sure there were some people that didn't have a lot of love for Ole, but boy, he was something. And as a fan, I really appreciated kind of what he brought to the party.
Yeah, just kind of a side topic, Tim. Was Mid-Atlantic your first non-WWF wrestling?
Well, I mean, it was NWF. I mean,
Oh, sure.
that was around earlier.
That's right.
But as far as like the stuff that wasn't running in like, Western New York, yeah, I think that might have been.
Okay. Cool.
That's an interesting question, Corey.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, because this would have been early 80s,
Sure,
so.
sure. Okay. Chad, what are your memories of Oli?
So I started seeing like NWA in probably 86 on the Superstation when I'd go to a friend's house because we didn't have cable. And I mean he was pretty intimidating on TV, and like you said, when we met him at the CAC Hall of Fame, he was definitely intimidating. I believe you asked him for his picture and he kind of looked at you and said, "All right, let's do it," or
Yeah,
something like that.
something like that. Yeah.
But and I actually just grabbed my copy of Inside Out, his book, down, and I have some pages permanently marked with some nice Snoopy post-it notes. And the
Nice.
chapter you're referring to, Tim, that I have permanently marked is Chapter 25, The Psychology of Booking. And I mean, it also could be subtitled The Logistics of Booking, too. Because I mean, to me, that is just fascinating when you have a territory running multiple nights a week, and how you spread out the talent, like you said, how you don't duplicate all the finishes and everything. I just think that's amazing. And Ole told it like it was. I mean, the story of how he greeted Linda McMahon when they met was pretty pretty awesome. It involves Tim's least favorite word, so I'm not going to say it here, but it rhymes with snunt. We won't go any further than that, but I don't know. I thought that was awesome. And then Vince said, "Well, he'll never work for me." One of my favorite promos actually is about Ole Anderson, but it doesn't involve, he's not in the promo. It's T-Bolt challenging him, and he just kept going, "Ole Anderson, if you move," and then he just runs out of time. So I have talked to T-Bolt about getting Ole in the game, and he said he'd do it, but he won't sign anything. I'm like, well, I appreciate trying, T-Bolt, so maybe someday.
Oh, yes. That T-Bolt promo is classic. Oh yes. All right. Let's get into what's new here with Phil Singer Games World. We have, I think, two announcements from our last episode. For the Best of the Indies 2024, we had the announcement of Francesco Akira. I believe I'm saying that right. Yes, Chad?
Oh, we actually have three late breaking news. They just posted
Oh.
the chair, Imprints of the Galaxy one.
Okay, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to
I know. I'll gather the
that.
information.
But no, Francesco Akira is an Italian-born junior heavyweight making waves in the most renowned indies promotion in Japan. It says here that he's holding his third junior heavyweight tag team title with fellow Phil Singer Games member TJP. So I'm going to be honest right away. I don't know much about him. I think I've heard the name, but I have not seen any Francesco Akira matches. I asked the rest of the panel before we got on the air. They said they had not, so I won't spend a lot of time on that. But any comments about Francesco?
I mean, is he related to another famous Japanese Italian, Antonio Inoki?
Probably not.
Perhaps they could be a team.
There you go. It makes sense. I like it. I like it. All right. Well, we'll move on to our Legends announcement for our upcoming Spring 4 pack. Joining Danny Doring and the Amish Roadkill will be Super Crazy, the Extreme Luchador, a re-release from the Black and White Legends days. I thought this drawing turned out really well. I think it'll be fun to have him in color now. I got to do a little bit of the work. Actually, no, Chad and I kind of tag teamed on this one. I did a lot of work on his original card, and Chad kind of took over for his color card.
I fixed it.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
I'm just teasing.
But I think fans will be happy to have him in color and just a few little tweaks here and there on his stats. I always enjoyed Super Crazy in ECW in those last few years. Of course, his matches with Tajiri, and
Oh,
he had a short
those
run
are
with the
awesome.
TV title. Yeah, those were some awesome matches. Of course, the crazy moonsaults off the balcony and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, very, very much enjoyed him. Since he's come out, or since his Black and White original card came out, we've had Juventud Guerrera join the game. And so you could kind of reunite them. They were a part of a team in WWE for a few years there. And lots of options that you can do with Super Crazy. Chad, what do you think about Super Crazy?
I'm crazy about Super Crazy. I love those matches with him and Tajiri, and then you got little Guido involved too. I mean, it would be fantastic if someday we got either of those guys involved, so you could, you know, recreate some of those matches, or maybe they form a friendship and Tajiri and Super Crazy become a tag team. That would be a good way to end things with their fantastic rivalry. But I had a lot of fun watching some of those matches so I could scout some moves for Super Crazy. Since we don't have Tajiri, perhaps he can feud with Francisco Akira.
There you go.
I don't know. Anything's possible.
That's a good idea.
Hey, I'm full of good ideas.
You are. Tim, what are your thoughts about Super Crazy?
Yeah, I think he's a great addition to this. Kind of following the theme of the four pack so far. He's a guy that I think some people have been asking about. Being converted from black and white to color. So hopefully we got the stats, in good shape and everybody will be happy with it. But yeah, I think he's a good addition. I think people are going to like this four pack. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, and as Chad said, we did have a late breaking announcement just as we started recording. That is the newest member of the GWF Secret History Female Warriors set, Princess Pain. It says, what happens when a wrestler tries to get the attention of GWF superstars for an addition for their team? A lot of things could happen, but the case of Princess Pain will be revealed in GWF Secret History Female Warriors. She hails from Altair, came to the GWF with the intention of joining the Royal Court, but what happened? Why did Exo King turn her down, and what is her sadistic finisher, Taunting Armbreaker, and how does it relate to this story? I'm just looking at the drawing here for the very first time as we record. Definitely a very, royal feel to it. Kind of got a castle background there, and she's holding some kind of a scepter. I don't think it's a Nog scepter, but it is a scepter of some type. So I'll be interested to learn more about Princess Pain.
Tim, she almost looks like she could be she looks like she could be the villain in like a Disney movie.
I thought the same thing. The castle,
like
reminded
the evil
me.
Queen or something like that from Sleeping Beauty or, something along those lines.
Yeah,
she's got it. It's a good look. That's for sure.
The castle background also reminded me of Disney. So, yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah. And the fact that she's trying to join the Royal Court, I think kind of put that in my head, too. So,
well, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, plus, it's kind of foggy, or maybe that's some ice or misty. Maybe she's the evil person and frozen.
Yeah.
Here she has a little streak in her hair, like Rogue.
Oh, yes. Very true.
I'm curious about her taunting armbar finisher. Mm. Her taunting arm breaker.
Yeah, I know. I want to know what
does,
that's like.
Does she put an arm breaker and says, I'm going to break your arm, and scared the Pazzoli out of it? I wonder, I think I know why Exo King turned her down.
Why is that?
There weren't any other fucking women in the GWF at that time.
Makes
perhaps.
Sense. Makes sense.
Yes, perhaps.
Yes. Could very well be.
That would definitely be a hindrance.
Yes. I have an idea.
Yes, you do.
Perhaps it's Duke of Destruction coming back in drag, trying to sneak back in. And he said, Duke, I got you figured out, buddy. Get out of here.
Could very well be.
Dirty old Duke.
I'm wondering if she learned her taunting armbreaker from the Andersons.
Shit. Too soon, Corey. God, sorry. Don't be so insensitive.
Anyway, you're right. Forgive me. All right. So, of course, last week we celebrated our 169th episode. And we have some compliments on the episode, or what is this, Chad?
We've had a lot of positive reaction, and not to us, of course, but to Mark Ashby with his big announcement, his earth-shattering announcement. That was good. But listener,
the greatest reveal of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, listener Ken West today messaged me on Facebook about some other business, and he said episode 169 has become my official favorite episode of Uncharted Territory.
Nice.
That it was the proper amount of wiseassery, tomfoolery, eggnog references, grouchy old men references, and the Ashby reveal was icing on the cake. And then he said, you guys may never top this. I said, I'll tell the guys we can retire and not record tonight.
There we go.
And he said, Friday would suck without you all.
Aww.
And I said, you're too kind. We'll record tonight. And he said, I'd throw a baby if I had one. Excellent. So thank you.
Friday probably still sucks with us, just maybe not quite as bad.
Yeah, I mean,
very slightly less.
You could say at least we're not as goofy as those goofballs. So, But I've had other texts too. Michael Brada, Sam Fain, all enjoyed the big reveal. So, you know what? We have a Champions of the Galaxy OG back in the fold, and things are good.
Excellent. Yeah, that was very cool when Mark sent that message about asking if people would want to hear about his new Fed. Of course, we knew they would.
Yeah,
I did listen to his podcast with him and his son Trevor about the Trevor's bowling experiences, yeah. And I even submitted a question.
Nice. To the
podcast.
Awesome. Yeah, what's that called again? 7-10 split.
Trip four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna look that up right now. Oh, we forgot to look at our WTF forecast. Mine said it's completely average. Just completely average. So
mine says
trip four.
Mm-hmm. Trip four. It doesn't say that. But mine says Denny's helping people poop themselves since 1953. And for the weather, it says this night is as good as any to stay inside and slap around your flesh puppet. What you Jesus. Do is your friggin' business.
Corey.
I didn't say that. That's what the app said.
No, sure. I'm sure it is. Blame it on the app.
Mm-hmm.
Mine says this weather is a bit of a damp squib. Feel free to use that shit. You're welcome. So there you go.
Very cool. Very cool. Thank you, WT Forecast.
Is this podcast only on YouTube?
Yes. At the moment, I believe it is. Yes.
Okay. I think he might have said that and I kind of listened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was very good. It was very interesting. I mean, he had graphs and they were talking about very, very sabermetric-y type stuff as far as bowling is concerned. And I just wanted a little bit more, clarification on one of the terms, since, as I believe I said in my email, I was a very poor recreational bowler only, so I don't understand some of these things that he's talking about.
The trip for pod. Why can I not find it on YouTube? I know there's a link, but I don't want to.
Number four. It's the number four.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at your.
It's the letter four.
Oh shit! It's that. That got me. Oh, there it is. I'm subscribing. Hey, they're up to 8 now. Woohoo!
Nice.
There you go.
Open a fucking Patreon.
Yeah. All
right. Why is there a clip of Grunt the Wrestling Movie on here? What did we talk about that?
Shocked and appalled.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I even queued up the clip to that moment.
Oh, that's some fucking artistry.
Yes.
You're good.
All right. Well, back to the show at hand, fans.
Oh, sorry. I forgot we were on live.
Yeah, kind of.
We're recording live to tape.
There we go. So for our main event this week, Chad was at our parents' house and doing some digging around and discovered a lost treasure. This was a
and it wasn't his mom.
And it wasn't Corey's binky.
No.
My God, here's Chris. What the hell? Where have you been?
She was cleaning the basement and there was an avalanche.
I'm sure. Anyway, Chad found a notebook with some results from his GWF of 2089. So we've got a few cards here. Now, we'll kind of, I don't know, do we want to read through all the results or just do a summary? Or?
No, Stu's not here.
That's true. Yeah, we'll kind of go.
Let me give an intro about this.
Please.
So I was looking for, I have an autographed Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty 8x10 from when I saw them at the Mason City or North Iowa hockey rink, ice arena in Mason City, Iowa. So I've been looking for that thing. So I'm looking in the area that has the area of the house that is still dubbed my room that just has a bunch of shit in it. It's mostly not my shit anymore, but so it has some of my shit. I'm digging, and I found all these notebooks from and most of them were just blank notebooks from high school that had never been thrown away. So I threw them away, but then I found this one notebook and the handwriting in it isn't all mine. And there's four cards. So I think this might've been a joint promotion that maybe Troy and Mike and Lynn and Eric, some of us had put together or something. And I mean, it's fucking terrible. Don't get me wrong. This is ridiculous booking, but I think that's why some of the handwriting doesn't match. So I typed up these results, but yeah, it starts off with a GWF heavyweight tournament. It's double elimination, except there's some flawed logic in the bracketing because,
yeah,
Like, he gets to round four in the championship bracket, and Star Warrior's fighting Bounty Hunter, and Star Warrior wins, but Bounty Hunter never appears in the tournament again, so he wasn't double eliminated. And then the championship match is Bishop Hell beating Star Warrior by DQ.
Which was a rematch from round one.
Yeah, where Star Warrior beat Bishop Hell.
Where Star Warrior won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was...
Because Bishop Hell came through the loser of the consolation bracket.
Well, and it was only, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12 guys. I don't know why we did a 12-man tournament where you go... I mean, it was just screwball. And it's not like we did a three-way dance for the finals. We just gave Star Warrior a bye out of his bracket. So I think this might have been, like, a couple of us... We each picked a stable of guys and ran some shows.
Okay.
So, like, you know, first round was Thantos beating Genghis Khan, Renegade beating Earthquake, Galactic Punisher beating Spike, Wolf beating Massive, Bounty Hunter beating Mesmer, and Star Warrior beating Bishop Hell. So then we split into championship and consolation brackets.
I do think it's hilarious that you've got, like, really good matches with, like, and this, 'cause this would have been... I mean, the cards are dated 89, so this would have been with that
2089, yeah.
And you've got, like, some good matches in there with Wolf and Massif and Bounty Hunter and Mesmer and Star Warrior and Bishop Hell. So you've got, like, really tough guys facing off, and then you've got, like, Renegade versus Earthquake.
I know. That's why I think my friend Eric was really into Powerhouse, so he took Earthquake, and I did love Renegade. Maybe I don't know who took him, but that's why I think there's some of these screwball matchups too as we go through this, because we're all just using our favorite guys in our little tiny stables, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and Genghis Khan was a great drawing. I mean, the card stats weren't good, but that was just an awesome drawing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's a as you know, we have this double elimination bracket drawn out, and we were, most of us were big fans of amateur wrestling, so we knew how to construct one of those on a piece of paper. But then the top bracket and bottom top of the bracket, the losers cross too, because I had a hard time at first tracking where they went, and then I realized they were farther. It was ridiculous.
So the WrestleBacks weren't that great. I mean, the layout of the bracket wasn't the best. Where was Todd the Tournament Master when you needed
him? Yeah, really? God.
I mean, I was 16. He was probably, you know, 10. I don't know.
But he probably would have drawn up this winners bracket for you in like five minutes, you know?
The winners cross. Well, probably Troy do it out. Troy is also a Tournament Master. Because Thantos fought Bounty Hunter in the second round, but they should have been in opposite ends of the bracket. You know, so they crossed the streams, and then Renegade dropped down to Star Warrior. I don't know. So anyways, coming out of this, Bishop Hell was the Galaxian champion after a tough DQ win for Star Warrior. So then
always a great way to crown a champ.
Yes, exactly. Right. Then we move on to a house show where Star Warrior beats Bishop Hell for the championship in a rematch. And then we have out of what, 7 matches, we have 3 DQs, including Creeper beating Reynard Beguile by DQ.
Oh, man.
A cage match with Incredible Badger beating Earthquake.
No storylines?
It's funny that these are singles matches, too, so you don't really have any tag matches at all until later.
No, we start hitting our stride in our booking, wink, wink. And then...
but it is funny. I mean, you know, as I mentioned, you know, playing 91 now, I mean, it's amazing because I'm rolling twice for DQ. When I started this, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to try rolling once for DQ. And then I'm like, nope, not going to happen. Going to roll twice. Because, you know, as you kind of got into that era, there's a ton of guys, good guys and bad guys, with like a DQ of 6.
Right.
So you're going to hit that a lot. And I still have a bunch of them, and I was like, nope, not going to happen. So I can see why this would happen when you're probably just rolling once because you don't know, and you know you're following the rules.
Yeah. So then the next show we finally it's like we got really into tag teams. We formed some tag teams because then out of 6 matches, 4 are tag team matches, which is ungodly booking. Also, four DQs out of six matches, which is god awful booking. So, amidst it all, there's a cage match out of nowhere, but Thantos and Wolf have never wrestled. And they decide to have a cage match, and Wolf beats Thantos with the Master Lock. But we have Mutant beating Mad Jester by DQ, the Animan over Titan Power by DQ, Terror and Executioner over Powerhouse by DQ, the Greek Gods beating the Space Patrol, which was the team of Star Warrior and Punisher. Somebody like, it wasn't me. It was Troy or Eric or Mike, I don't know, by DQ. Thankfully, Vanity and Killer Queen did beat the Norse gods with the checkmate. So thank goodness for that. So yeah, yes. that was
all
a rough
people
show.
Need to know.
That was a rough show too. So the next show we move into our tag team tournament, and it's only the first round. I don't know why we didn't continue.
You didn't want to do a consolation bracket here.
I mean, we didn't even have a freaking second round. I don't know what happened. Badger and Ram beat Terran Executioner. Titan Power beat Knight and King. The Space Patrol beat the Greek Gods by DQ. So, I mean, they should have gone to the cage because they've had two DQs in a row. Aside from the fact they're both face teams, maybe, who knows. And then Queen beat Kraken and Khan by DQ. And then just to finish
Queen
this
and
up,
Vanity.
I'm sorry, yeah. Wolf beats Massive with the Savage Face Claw. Man Mountain beats Creeper, boo, with a Mountain Slide.
Yeah.
Renegade beats Lightning with a Noggin Knocker off the interference chart.
Oh, okay.
Earthquake beat Kraken with Cliffhanger. And then
wow.
In an Indian Strap match, the Royal Overlord beats Omega with the Royal Rumble. So
wow.
we got those from, well, I made some based off the Superstar Pro Wrestling. Maybe that's what we're using. I don't know.
Okay,
that's just good booking right there. You know, have the Native American guy lose the strap match
to a manager,
yeah.
So yeah. With this tag team card that you just described, Chad. So again, this is on your Google Doc. You've got the three tag matches listed. Then you say other matches. So is Queen and Vanity and Kraken and Khan not part of the tag team tournament?
According to the hand drawn bracket, no. It was a six team tournament. So
nice.
Maybe that's why we didn't continue, because we couldn't figure out who got the bye or the bidding war. I don't know what the hell was going on.
Oh my god!
You were arguing over who's going to get the bye into the
finals.
Yeah, we
probably started leg wrestling or some shit for that. And I don't know. It was. I mean, this was bad shit, folks. But you know what? We had fun, and that's all that mattered.
There you go.
I mean, you know, you're young, and I mean, it's like, you know. Like when Mark was talking about, you know, last week, he's talking about, well, you know, I didn't play the choices right for like a year.
Right.
You know, and so I think it's kind of cool though. If this was kind of a joint, you know, promotion, and you get together and you're trying to figure stuff out, and you know, you come up with a kind of a double elimination tournament.
Yeah. That one was okay until Bounty Hunter went missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably
well,
lost his
he
card.
Maybe he just walked. I mean, maybe he just left.
Yeah.
Didn't want to do a job.
My original bounty. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, maybe somebody just, you know, couldn't make it that day. So you're like, well, screw it. You don't get to go to the finals.
Well, my original Bounty Hunter card, my friend Lynn had a fucking atomic fireball in his mouth, and he was fucking with it. So he had a red thumbprint on him. Because he would always use in Bounty Hunter. So, yeah. I don't know. But
I think I remember, like, my original out of the ring chart. Because didn't like in the C column, it was missing like a number.
Yes.
Like, because
there
was
dash
that,
eight.
It was like automatic count out was like nine, it was like 11 or 12, but you were missing 10.
Yep.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So I remember writing that in like pen to, so that I wouldn't mess that up again.
Right.
But yeah, there were a few of those little things that happened during the formative years.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, like, yeah, I didn't play choices right either. I thought you could do the move or use the chart, which made no sense, because why would you go to the chart if you had a move on. I mean, I guess it was beneficial if you had a level two move on there.
Right. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just remember with those original charts, with having those choice H's like Queen and Actagon. That's made
oh, yeah.
On level two. Holy shit. Actagon that made was him tough.
That's why Actagon was such a beast for me, because he was going out of the ring on level two.
I mean, that's why they were a beast for me for tag teams. I mean, mm-hmm. and Queen and Vanity they actually had a really good feud over the tag titles. Because, you know, God, you had guys with, you know, equal finishers, two double yeah. zeros and yeah. two plus ones, and each team had an out of the ring on level two. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
But it's just kind of cool that you would think to do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at least, I mean, it was an effort. I mean, for youngsters, it's good to, you know, you at least made a good attempt to set up a double elimination tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I just don't, as I was looking, I'm like, oh, okay, this works. And I'm like, where'd Bounty Hunter go?
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Where is the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah. But I mean, Troy would write up tournaments in notebooks at school and just like do them in his head. And right. Usually it came down to Rick Martel versus Bob Backlund, because we were into the Pro Wrestling USA, despite Bob Backlund's horrible interviews.
But, so you know, what year would this have been, Chad, roughly?
1989.
Okay. Because you were doing the...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's when the card sets were the year. Okay.
Yeah, because 2089 came out in... I mean, Invasion 2, you know, so at some point I must have went in and wrote down the date or so. I don't know. I mean, it's not like these were real dates. We were just doing them like a week apart.
Right.
But this was like, we had to get, you know, we'd get together on Saturdays afternoons usually and play this video games, D&D, Axis and Allies, poker, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Invasion 2 had just come out. So that was at the tail end of 88 heading into 89.
Gotcha.
So
very cool.
It was fun to look at.
This is really neat.
Yeah
it's not good.
It's interesting, and it's worth kind of, you know, taking a look at. I mean, you know, because you talked about the tournament, but I mean, you had some interesting opening bouts with you know, on the first show with Omega against Reynard Beguile, and
mm-hmm.
you know, Massacre beating Actagon, which would, you know, eventually morph into like the best tag feud that, you know, for years.
Right.
Vanity, you know, over Vanity Man Mountain. Yeah, yep. That's cool. That's really cool.
Creeper versus Mutant. I mean,
yep. Classic.
I about that.
Yeah. No, this is really neat though. And it's kind of cool that, you know, you would sit there with your friends and get together and kind of do something like this. I mean, you know, at 26 years old, when I first got the, you know, 25 years old or whatever it was when I first got the game, mm-hmm. You know, well, it would have been younger than that, but I mean, but still, I mean, you know, it's like, I didn't know anybody else had played this stupid game.
Right.
You know, and it took me a while to finally find, you know, to sign up for Club Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding out there were other idiots like me out there that actually were into the game was pretty kind of a, you know, pretty cool thing, because we didn't have mm-hmm. any, you know, social media back then was non-existent. So
right,
and the world was a better place.
Kind of cool,
amen.
Though. Yeah, and I mean, just really neat that, you know, you something other than the Superstar Pro, you know, wrestling game would mm-hmm. have, you know, kind of captured people's attention with fictitious characters and all of that, and kind of, you know, just getting together with everybody and playing. I just think that's really cool, because there was I couldn't have interested any of my friends in this. I mean, just you know, they might have been into wrestling, but they weren't, they would have like looked at this and went, you know, a hard pass.
I was the same
nothing
way
personal.
Like, I always wanted to, you know, because about the time I started playing, not long after this, was the Monday Night Wars, and so wrestling became popular among my high school friends, but I just couldn't. I never even tried bringing it up to people. It's just such a unique format, and I just didn't think anybody would want to do it. But maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, because I think when I got the first set, I had gotten my first job after college, and so I was living in Batavia New York, and I didn't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even if I could have, you know, found some people, I doubt the first thing I would have tried to get them interested in was a wrestling game that I was playing with cards and dice.
A futuristic one would, at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That would, I don't think that would have been a good icebreaker at, you know, at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Who's your interpreter?
Yeah.
When you pick out a rutabaga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bringing my game into the, you know, the bar at night and saying, hey, I'm just going to sit and play this for a while. Oh shit. I dropped one of the dice on the floor again. but yeah, I mean, it's not something I think I would have really brought up, you know, but, I just find it really cool that there are people out there that, you know, that have friends that play, I'm outside the community, you know, outside the people that we know, but that just kind of came up with friends, you know, in their neighborhood that also played the game and got into it somehow. Mm-hmm. I just think that's really neat. Kind of a cool way to kind of run a, even though the joint fed didn't last too long, because obviously you moved on to something else fairly quickly.
I mean, I remember, because it's not on here, because when 2090 came out, we were running a tag match with Star Warrior and Pulsar Prime against someone. Rainer Beguile was at ringside, and I remember that Troy conducted a heel turn with Pulsar Prime where he took off his boot and clubbed Star Warrior or something. So there were future matches. I just don't.
Okay.
Just the recording of them is lost to the annals of time.
Okay.
Perhaps
I got
that's
it.
In another box with that damn Midnight Rockers autograph picture that I'm trying to find.
There you go.
Unless Corey's got it in his room. I'm going to go through your
stuff. No.
Maybe on the back of that picture is round two of that tag.
There you go.
maybe that's right next to Shawn Michaels' autograph.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And Corey's Mademoiselle shirt.
There you go.
I don't know what that is.
It's a fine French restaurant here in Buffalo.
All French restaurants give out t-shirts.
That's what I hear. They do. That's what I hear. All right. Well, thank you for finding this treasure, Chad. This has been fun to look at, and always fun to look at our old results and think about what we would have done differently or not at all.
and in this case, we would have done everything differently.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it is funny. You know, it is funny when you look back. You know, Corey at least had a little bit of, you know, where you had played and gone through stuff,
right.
Mm-hmm. And kind of figured some shit out before he kind of got into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is funny looking back and just, you know, the way I played was just so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
because I was trying to keep all the, you know, the accountant in me, right? I'm trying to keep like the number of matches each guy has is the same, but then a new set would come out and be like, well, shit, this is going to ruin everything. Mm-hmm. And I would do like a round robin with all the guys in the new set,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to kind of see what would happen. And then throw them against some of the existing guys as well to try and get the numbers up there for everybody. And it was just so stupid. It was so stupid. And I didn't really, you know, like I said, and I know I've talked about this a number of times, but going to that first Galacticon, and the only reason if it would have been in Cleveland, if Tom hadn't moved to Jamestown, if it would have been in Cleveland, that would have been, it's too far to drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured, you know, it's just a couple hours away to Jamestown from Batavia, so I'll take a shot. But even though I was like one of the old farts there, along with, you know, Steve and Tom, it really did kind of open my eyes with what everybody was doing and how they were playing, and that I had a bad, you know, choice chart, you know, where G and H were out of the ring, and
mm-hmm.
But all these different things. And I mean, you know, and getting the newsletter too, I mean, that was just such a big deal. You know, and I know that, like I said, I remember when I got the first set, it was in December of 86, but I doubt, because I was working and mm-hmm. tax season really started hitting in January. So I don't think I would have played much until after April 15th. So I probably mm-hmm. didn't have a lot of match time, you know, going on until after, which I think is one of those reasons that I didn't play a lot of shows mm-hmm. early on. I mean, there might be a year where I did like, you know, a dozen
mm-hmm.
shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Yeah, it's just crazy. I always love just going back and trying to, you know, look at old stuff like this and just trying to figure out, like, you know, yeah, you know, I you know, and I've always said, you know, once you put down your money, you could, you know, you never play the game wrong. You just play the game how you play the game.
Right.
But yeah, I was playing the game wrong. I will freely admit that I not only was I doing stupid stuff, but I was playing the game wrong. But I just think it's great going back and looking at this stuff, and you know, it just brings back it's good memories, and I mean that's why I'm having fun going back and doing it now.
Right.
You know, it just it's like when you people look fondly back and they say, oh, it was a simpler day, and you know, I mean that's what you know those early years of GWF were like for me. You know, and it was probably when I had the, even though I wasn't playing much, it was probably the most fun I had playing the game. So yeah, I just love looking at results like this and you know hearing the stories behind it, and I'm thrilled that you found this too when you were just you
This
know
is awesome.
digging for an autographed photo somewhere.
This is awesome.
I mean, I'll
The
be
Corey
honest, I'd be happier
probably
if
stole like 10 years ago.
I know I'd be happier if I found my Rockers photo. But this was it was fun. It was fun. I'm
That's
like
probably
reading, typing them up. I'm like, oh my God, this is garbage.
I think it's on the wall behind Corey in his house.
Oh, is that what that is? Shit. I thought that was his autographed Gene Shalit poster.
No, that's next to my what'd you get me? Oh yeah, Flavor Flav and Zeus. My
Nice.
two favorite autographs after T-Bolt and Rock Riddle.
The Gene Shalit shout out was for Michael Braun. He said he enjoyed that last week.
Oh, good. Awesome. Love it, Michael.
With this book that Barry got me.
Hey.
Hey.
I
love
love
this. The back photo is fucking Bull Curry just punt. I mean, it looks like he's knocking a fan out to get
Yeah,
out of the ring.
it
That is
does.
awesome.
Yeah, it looks like he laid that one in. That does not look like a worked punch.
No, it does
No,
not. No, it
not
does
at
not.
all. You know, I think, I don't know. Do we have any other Ole Anderson memories to chat about? I mean, the thing I loved about when I started seeing him in the studio, him and Arn would be tag team and beating on some J-Brones, and the crowd's chanting "break it" when they're wrenching an arm bar. So even though they're the bad guys, they're and that led to so my friend Neil, who was not a wrestling fan, that stuff is what led to him becoming a bit of a wrestling fan, and we'd, you know, watch. So then we'd start watching TBS. I remember we got the first Halloween Havoc on pay-per-view at his house. I don't know how we the hell we did that, but we taped it and everything so Corey could see it. You know, and then quickly with that group, the Steiners became favorites and everything. And so that 89, 90 era of WCW has some good memories. But you know, it all started off. What hooked us was the fans chanting "break it"
Nice.
for Ole and Arn.
I mean, yeah, Ole, like I said, is just his interviews. I mean, I can remember the when the in that time frame, Chad, when they kicked Sting out of the Horsemen, and then Sting ends up getting actually injured on that Clash of the Champions. But just Ole's intensity is like, you were never a horseman, and just berating Sting, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, and
he was just he was just he was just so much. I mean, just as a fan, you wanted him to just get his ass kicked.
Oh yeah. Yep.
But you know how, I mean, you think about the alternate sacrifice move,
Yeah.
where he, you know, whips his
Oh yeah.
the opponent into Gene's head and like knocks him out and everything, and just how savage that was, you know.
And they you know talked about that for years. So they, I mean, it was a thing and it was a big deal, but I mean they milked that. I mean they milked that whole angle for years. I remember them talking about that years later on TV.
And you kind of wonder if that's where the finish for WrestleMania 2 between the Bulldogs and the Dream Team came from, because George Scott would
Oh,
have been booking. Because, you
right.
know, I never, you know, when I first saw that, I was a fan. I was just like, I didn't even understand what happened. You know, it
Right.
didn't even really occur to me. I had to rewatch it a few times to understand what actually took place. And then you hear about the Anderson thing, I'm like, well, that might make sense because I don't recall the Bulldogs ever pulling off anything like that,
right?
You know, a second time.
Right. It's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah, if you haven't read Ole's book, get a copy. Get it from Scott Teal at Crowbar Press. I think it's still in.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
In print,
it's very good.
I've read it a couple times. I kind of got a dog-eared copy here, and I will say, you know, I have a, I'm on a text thread with, like, the TNT Hall of Fame selection committee, and Jerry's like, man, that, you know, Jerry's had nothing but good things to say about Ole, that as cool. That text thread's been going off tonight. So
yeah,
despite cool. Maybe some of their differences.
Yeah, awesome, very cool.
No, that's cool that you know, after all, they kind of went through and button heads, yeah. I mean, with each other, so to speak, you know, I mean, that you know, you kind of look back on it and have from some perspective.
Absolutely. Well, that's some great topics here tonight. Let's roll into our shout outs for the week. Tim, what would you like to say?
Well, and now the t-shirt promo. Hey, everybody, this is Tim Dahl. In case you have forgotten, by God, if you want some Uncharted Territory merchandise, all you need to do, people, is go to tkostore.com. That's right. Our friend Justin running tkostore.com. That's, again, TEEKO store.com. There you go. Excellent. You got your t-shirts, your sweatshirts, your hoodies. We're always thinking about new designs and new things. If there's, I saw that they're doing some stuff for Phil Singer Games t-shirts and asking, what should we have? And, you know, who knows what you should have? We're still trying to figure it out. We're still working on the fabulous clam. Who knows what's going to happen?
I actually thought of another one today.
Oh boy. Chad is the creative genius behind these t-shirt designs, I will admit. But by God, whatever you do, you know, go to the store and get us that, you know, quarter of a cent or whatever we earn on each of those, because, you know, we got bills to pay, people. I mean, you know, it's hard for us to fork over that money to Zoom or whatever this is. The people tell me it's Zoom. I'm on the computer, I think. I don't know. I don't know how this works. But you know, go buy our stuff. Show it off, because there's nothing better than walking around with our faces on your chest. I mean, what better can you get? You know, what more satisfaction in life can you get than that?
Mm-hmm. Tim actually thinks he's using an Etch-a-Sketch. It's a laptop. We haven't told him.
I keep turning these knobs, but it doesn't draw anything. I'm not quite sure how this works.
He has a can and a string to his ear.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me now? So anyway, you know, I'd like to just thank everybody for listening. We really do appreciate the people that have stuck with us through 170 episodes, or if this is your first episode, I'm very sorry you stumbled upon this, but you know, maybe it'll be better next week. So come back and listen to it then. But that's what we got. And, you know, thanks for listening, and we'll be back again next time with episode 171.
Thank you, Tim. Chan.
171 is what I announced James Jeffries at, his weight.
Ah.
Every time. And do you know why I use that weight?
Why?
Because it's the weight class I wrestled in high school.
Ah.
Yeah, a little diggery-do cool. There. Thank you to everyone who took the time to listen to episode 169 and offer some comments. TTX, Throwing Toasters, KB, Matt, Mouse Lover, LA Wraith, Pete, and The Faction. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to offer some comments. And again, thanks to the people who have sent texts or little shout-outs on the book face. It was a fun episode, capped off with some amazing news from the creator of our community, Mark Ashby. Thanks also to people who have kind of commented to me about the vintage Fed that I have set up in episode 168. I've had some off the air comments about that off the board. You know, I know Carl Zilla is doing one like that right now. Some people mentioned, I think Travis Heckle said, you know, he would be concerned that somebody new might come out and that would fit in that timeline. I just want to remind folks, if they are exploring a vintage Fed, I'm not running mine chronologically from beginning to end like Carl Zilla's doing. I'm jumping back and forth all over the timeline, so that way, if new folks do come in, I can insert them in matches. Now, if somebody wins the title in the next show So the two original guys, like I got going with William Muldoon and Farmer Burns. I'll book my way out of that. So, but it is fun. I'm excited. I'm kind of looking at what decades I might start up a little bit next, but I do need to close out that little 70s loop in Georgia, because I have a couple good things planned for that too. So anyways, I appreciate that. Hope people are having fun with those vintage cards. I've enjoyed it too, because I just haven't had a chance to use those charts yet. So it's been a good time. So everybody stay safe, be excellent to each other, and we'll talk to you next week on episode 171.
Thank you, Chad. I want to give attention to the other Phil Singer Games content providers out there. Of course, Grant Pachoco and the Solo Promoter YouTube channel and podcast. The official podcast of Phil Singer Games, Roll Up, with Sam, Mike, and Todd. Dave Little plays Heartland Championship Wrestling. Brock Atkinson at Brockster Builds, as well as Brock and Mike's Phil Singer Games Character Spotlight. Brad plays on YouTube. That's at BradPlays81. And I got a message this week from our faithful listener, Lee Longpre, formerly of the Dizzy Dice podcast, but he has started a YouTube channel as well. I'm not going to read this address here, but I will put it in our show notes, and it'll be there with the other podcasts and shows as well. So you can check out Lee's newest YouTube channel. Also give a quick update on my wrestling team. We had our Texan tournament this past weekend for the boys. We had, two wrestlers take fourth place. One of them, I believe, should have gotten third place. This was about the closest thing to a dusty finish in amateur wrestling that I've ever seen.
The ref got knocked out?
No, but there was a disputed ref call. They had two referees. It was the third place match.
Mm-hmm.
They went into overtime. They were tied at 7. Now, for those who don't know, in amateur wrestling, in the overtime period, it's 1 minute, and the first takedown wins. So our wrestler and the other wrestler kind of got, you know, in a scramble position. The other wrestler had our guy kind of like almost like a bear hug position, kind of on the mat with arms around him. Didn't have full control. Our guy had the ankle, which isn't a full takedown. One referee started to rule that it was a takedown, but called it off. Our wrestler kind of rolled through, got on top, scored the takedown, and appeared to win. They put the points on the board. The second referee comes over to talk to the first referee, says, you know, he said, nope, that first takedown counted. So they switched the points, awarded the match to the other guy. The referees would not, they were just started walking off the mat. And I said, no, you got to come explain this to us. You know, they just hadn't explained what happened. And the lead referee said, well, the assistant referee said he saw it. It was a takedown. Assistant referee would not talk to me. It was a lot of controversy, a lot of strong emotions there. But unfortunately our guy took fourth. It was still a great performance overall. Good day. But we did get one wrestler to state. One of our seniors, Elijah, he's our 172-pounder, a third-year wrestler, started as a sophomore, had never wrestled before, and made it to state, took second in his bracket, and won a very hard-fought true second match to keep his second-place position and go on to the state tournament. So that'll take place on Friday, so about the time you probably hear this podcast. We'll be at the XL Center in St. Paul, where the Minnesota Wild play hockey. They take up the ice and put down 8 wrestling mats. And it's a beautiful scene. And but Elijah will be in competition. He's got the number one seed in his bracket, a guy who's 47-0. But the way the Minnesota high school tournament is set up, you're not guaranteed 2 matches. Your opponent, if you lose in that first round, your opponent has to win his next match for you to get a wrestle back. And hopefully with this guy's record, Elijah should get at least a second match. So we'll see how it goes. That takes place Friday, and hopefully he's back there Saturday as well, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, very proud of his progress over the last few years.
You needed senior referee Tommy Young in that scramble. It's like, what the hell? That
sounds terrible. Or James Beard.
I was just gonna say good friend James Beard. There would have been no controversy there with Tommy Young or James Beard.
Yeah.
But anyway. I just want to thank everybody once again for clicking, listening, and downloading, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Hey promoters, it's Corey again, and we would love to hear from you. Please send us your questions, topic suggestions, or any other comments, and we might include your audio in a future episode of Uncharted Territory. There's 2 ways you can do it. You can go to tinyurl.com /UNCTER. Again, tinyurl.com/UNCTER. You can click the message button and record up to a 1-minute message, and we can include that in a future episode. Or you can email us either audio or a written question at our email address, utpodcast2020@gmail.com. Again, utpodcast2020@gmail.com. Want to show your friends that you listen to Uncharted Territory? Well, head on over to our store at tkostore.com/collection/uncharted-territory. You can choose from a shirt or hoodie with Travis Heckle's great podcast cover artwork, or a shirt with a design inspired by one of our favorite bands. While there, check out the other great merchandise at TKO, including shirts of several of the top MMA fighters, including Bigfoot Silva, Tim Sylvia, Ensign Inoue, and more. Need a shirt made for your event or organization? Contact TKO, run by Filsinger Games promoter Justin Bulka, aka Pike Mojo, to place your order. Again, that's tkostore.com, TEEKOstore.com.
Insert wolf music.
So I know that you fucking email. Maybe someday when you get a big boy phone, Corey.
I got one.
Corey, what are you using now? By the, you got a jitterbug now, or what are you doing?
Because it's an old one of Jackie's, because my present or my past ones just got destroyed.
Because every time you respond to like a thread now, it goes solo. Yeah,
I know. See, the weird thing is on my end, it shows me both that it goes to the whole group in the group text, but then all of you individually. So that's why I don't respond to as many group texts right now. I've got a new phone. I just got to get it set up.
But it looks like it responds. Like at first I was concerned nobody else was getting the responses, but they are.
Right. They are.
They are.
I think on your end, it just shows up as individual texts.
Yeah. It doesn't show up in the group.
Right.
The group thread at all.
Right. Right. It does. Like I said, it does for me, but not for you guys. So.
Yeah, it does for me.
So I just ignore you.
Nobody gives a shit about you.
That's for sure.
Haven't we made that abundantly clear over the past 20 years?
Yes. There you go.
All right. Thank you to everyone who took the episode. Fuck. Don't ever fucking tell me what to do.